short class about how to get rid of all bad karma. So if this thing is empty, and it's only a black and white cylinder, and the reason you're seeing it as a pen is because of some kind of karma in your mind, and as we said, that your karma organizes this shapes and colors into an image, and you know, Madhyamika, the higher school of Buddhism, says that all the time you're mistaking that image for the pen. You're always looking at an image, okay? And the content of that image is determined by your karma, okay? So really, if you want to turn this body into a tantric deity, then what you only really need to do two things. That's get rid of all your old bad karma and make sure you only make new good karma, right? So the good karma we took care of, everybody took a book. Almost everybody agreed to 1 year mazal, and I don't have to worry about that. So going forth, everything's taken care of. Now, if you just give people the book and you say, good luck, you know, please be a good person, they'll start to get some results. But you've also got a lot of old bad karma in your mind, and that blocks you. That causes what we call dipa. Dipa means a spiritual obstacle. So sometimes it doesn't matter how good you're doing new karma, if you have a dipa, or if you have the old bad karma still in your mind, then that obstructs you, and you won't be able to do this thing, okay? So we need to have a really good method of getting rid of old bad karma. There's a thing about how do you know what old bad karma you did? You know, most of us have a few things, or many things, from our younger days when you were young, that you did before you knew what you were doing, and that now you regret a lot. And then there's a second category, which is things that you did after you became a Buddhist because you couldn't control yourself, okay? And then there's a third category, is all the old bad karmas you have that you don't know about, okay? And that's, we're talking about all three tonight, okay? It's important to work backwards, okay? It's very important to look at the condition of your life and then try to figure out what karma is involved in your problems, okay? So if you have a health problem, you work backwards. It was in one of the readings of Jetsun Kapa's The Four Results of Karma, right? So you can work backwards from that. If you have a health problem, you must have hurt life somehow, okay? If you have a problem with being depressed or upset a lot, then perhaps you did number 8 or 9, being sad when other people get good things and being happy when they get bad things, or things like that. So you have to be a little bit of a detective. And to know what karmas you have to wipe out, you have to work backwards from your present life. You have to look at your life, what's wrong with your life, and then you have to go backwards and figure out what kind of karma you must have done. And you still have that karma in your mind, and it's still going off, okay? I think it's important to say that because of the three ways that karma ripens, and because of the third one and the second one, you know, that sometimes it takes a lifetime or more to ripen, it's important to say that whatever bad karma you figure out you must have done, you may not be doing that anymore, okay? But that doesn't mean you don't have that karma in your mind, all right? So, like, maybe you figure out, I had a lady come to me, she had Lyme's disease. She used to be a mountain climber and like a very, very intelligent lady, and then she got Lyme's disease, and then she could hardly walk. She used to fall down when she was walking. It was sad because in those days we had a small classroom, and she would sit in the back, and she was extremely intelligent. She could memorize all the Tibetan, but she'd get halfway through the quiz, then she'd just forget everything, you know? Like she'd have this karma to just forget everything, you know what I mean? And her health went down and down and down, and she had a pancreas removed and things like that. And then one day she came to me and she said, can you help me figure out what the karma is, you know? And like, I'm not like Lama Sipa, I can't do a mo, I don't understand all those things, but I had this strong feeling that it was some sexual misconduct, you know, of some kind. So I said, you know, have you done any sexual misconduct, adultery? And then came out this long story, you know? And then I told her how to work on it, you see, I mean, how to get rid of that seed. And then after that, she was really healthy, you know what I mean? After that, her health just totally changed. And now she's often goes down to my lama, helps them with heavy gardening and things like that, due to the change. So what I mean to say is that in some cases with her, it was like there was a small karma recently, and then there was an old karma that was pretty bad, and then we figured out that there must have been a karma before that, like in her past life. The point was, she was surprised that I'd asked her about that karma because she had been very good for the last 10 years or 15 years or something like that. You see, so it doesn't, just because that's the karma that caused the problem doesn't mean that you're still doing that, okay? So it's not like she had to change her behavior about that thing because she hasn't been doing it for 10 or 15 years, all right? But the karma was still that. So what I mean is, if you figure out that a problem with your health or your mind is caused by lying, but you're not attracted to lying and you never were attracted to lying, that doesn't mean you don't have that karma in you from before that. And you have to understand that, okay? So I'm going to go through the what we call the four powers. These are four steps for getting rid of old bad karma. I'm going to skip the last class, skip the last homework. You're not responsible for it. You can do it by correspondence course someday. Okay, you can take the reading and study it from there. I want to do a nice job on the getting rid of old bad karma, which actually comes from the Diamond Cutter course. And then I want to do a nice, and there's a separate course on getting rid of old bad karma called the Four Powers. And then I want to show you how to do this fire meditation, okay? And then we'll actually finish on time, maybe, okay? So here's the four steps to getting rid of old bad karma. Everybody's doing really good purification, I think. Okay. Say, Tengi Top. Tengi Top. Ten means foundation. Foundation. Top means power. Tengi Top means foundation power. There's four powers that destroy old bad karma. The first one is called ten. The reason they call it foundation is they say if you fall down, you need some solid ground to get yourself up. You need something to get yourself back up. So that's the meaning of ten here. Also, ten can mean basic practices. And what this number one step is, it boils down to two most basic practices that you have, which is refuge and bodhicitta. Okay, taking refuge and thinking about compassion. Okay. I'm very big on refuge, and I like to teach what refuge is not. Okay? Refuge is not sitting in front of a statue of the Buddha and saying, "Oh, I'm very sorry." You know, these beautiful paintings have absolutely no power to protect you. They are not refuge. They can't give you refuge. You can sit in front of them all day. You'll still catch the flu or a cold. Okay, they don't have any power to help you. I think that's why maybe in Islam, they don't allow to make an image of Muhammad or something, because images don't help you. And to think they do is some kind of image worship, which is probably why the first commandment is something about, is it? Or, yeah, don't go making pictures of God and thinking that they're going to protect you. Okay, they can't. These are paper and paint, and they can't protect you. 1 million Tibetans died in Tibet, in monasteries, in chapels, in nunneries, everywhere. Sitting next to these statues and paintings and holy images. And there's even a story that when Lord Buddha was alive, his village was attacked by the neighboring village, and all the people ran into his cottage for protection, for refuge. And then they were actually slaughtered in front of him, standing next to him, holding on to his robes. They were killed. So The Buddha can't help you that way. You know, the Buddha, that's not what refuge means, okay? I'll give you a, by the way, those things are called apparent refuge, kunzo, okay, kunta. It means images are apparent Buddha refuge. You see what I mean? Books are apparent Dharma refuge. People who wear red robes are apparent Sangha refuge. But that's not the real Buddha Dharma Sangha. They are not. They just represent it, okay? You can't take refuge in a painting. You can't take refuge in a book per se, okay? And not every person wearing the robes is in any position to help you. They may not be practicing very well themselves, okay? So what is the real refuge? Real refuge is number two, which is Dharma. You know, to think Dharma, to actually follow Dharma. When something bad is happening, to take protection in thinking the right way is going for refuge, okay? I'll give you an example. Somebody comes to you and says something bad to you. You know, they say something harsh to you, or something unkind to you, something unfair or untrue to you, okay? And then the normal reaction of a person in this wheel of life is to say, no, they call you stupid, and you say, I told you already, you know the whole thing. You say, no, you're stupid, okay? You just forgot to take refuge, okay? You just blew it, you didn't take refuge, okay? Why? You just got yourself in trouble again, okay? You did the opposite of taking refuge, okay? Somebody says something bad to you, you're stupid, and you say, no, you're stupid. You just created karma to hear this thing again. Okay, that's the opposite of taking refuge. That's not taking refuge. Taking refuge it is, aha, you called me stupid. Let's see, let me remember what that guy said in that class. You're empty. You're just a bunch of noises. And the reason I heard the word stupid and understood it was because of my own karma made those noises, it organized those noises into a thing called stupid and made me understand it. And the karma that made me understand it is that I called somebody else stupid in the past or I yelled at somebody in the past. So I think I won't yell back at you and I'm not going to say stupid to you. You just protected yourself. You see what I mean? That's a true act of refuge. People, you know, I read those refuge commitments. It says, I have to take refuge 6 times a day. I say, no problem, because I will meet at least 6 irritating people every day. So I can take refuge every time I bump into one. They are irritating me, and I'm thinking, okay, I can either say something bad back to them, but if I really want to protect myself, maybe I'll just shut up. And I just smile. You know, and then you just protected yourself. That is the only refuge. That's the only one that can protect you from harm. It protects you from all future harm. It turns you into a Buddha. This is real refuge, okay? That's the real meaning of refuge. It doesn't mean a Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo. That can't help you. It's not gonna help you. How many Tibetan people died sitting in temples saying that? You know, doesn't. It's not going to protect you, and you can see that it doesn't protect you. What I'm talking about always protects you. If you keep your mouth shut, Master Shanti Deva says, sit like a bump on a log. That's his advice. Somebody's yelling at you, you just pretend you're a log. You know, don't say anything. And at the beginning, okay? And then that karma won't repeat itself and you just protected yourself. So that's refuge, okay? The first part of purifying all bad karma is take refuge, okay? Let's take a real example. Okay, like I have a health problem, like I have a backache. It must have been caused by not respecting life in the past. So the first thing I'm going to do is take refuge. So I think about, where did this thing come from? Oh, I get it. I just have an empty backbone. Why do I see it as something suffering? Must be bad karma. When did I plan it? Before. What did I do? I took life. Okay, I didn't respect life. That's why I'm having this backache. And I refuse to do that again. You see, that kind of thinking, that's taking refuge, and that's the first of the four powers, okay? The second half of the first one is bodhicitta, okay? But personally, when I think about bodhicitta, I think, you know, if I could really develop real spiritual realizations, if I had real compassion in my mind, if I had real emptiness realizations in my mind, then I could really help other people. Then people would be attracted to me. People would smell that I knew what I was talking about. I could really help other people. So every time I do something bad, every time I get angry, every time I get jealous, every time I get proud, I have pride, then I'm a little bit less of a person that anyone would want to be like. You see what I mean? So I'm not loving other people because I'm allowing myself to be a schmuck. Okay? And I'm not an example for anybody. Nobody wants to be like that. And they see me do that, then they won't want to be like that. So I'm doing the opposite of bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is get yourself enlightened, become more and more pure, be an example for other people, and then finally reach those goals. So if I'm sitting around lying, stealing, doing those kind of things, then I'm not helping other people. I don't have compassion. Okay, so this is number two, is to go back to the compassion thing. Okay, I want to love other people. I want to be good to other people. So I reassert my basic principles in my life. Refuge and bodhicitta. That's the first of the four powers. Okay, you review those two attitudes. Refuge and bodhicitta. Okay, when was the last time you did that? How about Sangye Chodan, Sangye Chodan, La Chachu Badu Gani Kamsu Chi, Da Ki Jin So Ki Pe Sanam Ki, Do La Pen Chi Sangye. Oh, he's starting class now. Those are a very sacred opportunity to think about refuge and bodhicitta, okay? Don't just sit there and Sangye Chodan, Sangye, okay? The first two lines are going for refuge. The second two lines are bodhicitta. Don't waste the time. You know, use the time. Use that prayer. Think about at least one of them, okay? That's Tengitop, okay? Say number, sun, jinbe, top. Number, sun, jinbe, top. Number sun jinba is a very idiomatic Tibetan. It means to rip something's heart out. Okay. There's this movie that they were showing in America called The Last of the Mohicans, and it was about Indians and like cowboys. And then one of the Indians said, I'm going to get the general of the cowboys and I'm going to rip his heart out. And he actually did. It was really gross. But that image of taking a hatchet and cutting someone's chest and then actually ripping their beating heart out is number sun jinba. Okay? It means to rip the guts out of something. Top means power. Okay? Power number two. This is defined as, how should we say? Like, I always give the example, when I first met my Lama, we didn't have any money at all, and somebody gave us a Volkswagen. It had 180,000 miles on it, and it broke down it broke down twice in a 45-minute trip or something, and then I got this book called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Volkswagen, and I didn't know anything about cars, and I just read it. And then every time it would break, I would actually sit by the side of the road and fix it. And then we would keep going. And I remember one day I was fixing the cylinders, you know. And I got this wrench on it, and I gave it a big pull, you know. And it just stripped out the engine block. The engine block, Volkswagens don't have water. And so they are cooled because the engine blocks are aluminum and lets heat out. And so they strip out very easily. Like just with this much effort, you can just strip it and you ruin it. And that's a $400 thing to do that. You know what I mean? And in those days for me and my lama, that was a huge amount of money. That was like, you know, 3 months living money or something. And so I'm sitting there, and then I get this feeling in my heart, like just by doing this small thing, you know, almost an insignificant effort, I have ruined, or I've basically stolen $400 from my lot. I felt so bad. You know, it's that feeling of really stupid feeling. You feel really stupid. I did it one other time, I remember. If those of you who know in New Jersey, the Rashi Gambling has this beautiful chandelier. So, you know, it's the feeling of working up there on the ladder, and then suddenly you let go, and this whole thing comes down, you know, thousands of little pieces of glass are on the floor all spread out, and your lama's, you know, about to walk in, and you're like, ah. And it's this one moment of thoughtlessness. You see what I mean? It's the idea of one moment of thoughtlessness that ruins something big. And then how do you feel afterwards, you see? And that's Namrsim Jimitop. To have that kind of regret, to have that feeling of regret that you just, by a small slip-up, you made a big tragedy, you know, like you ruined something because you just, your mind just got distracted for a few seconds and then you ruined something completely, okay? And you have to think that way about that karma, okay? This person got mad at me and I was just standing there and then something slipped out of my mouth and now I'm going to have to go through that karma for maybe 10 years, 15 years, you know, that was a big mistake. To have that feeling that you just did real something, big mistake, by one small slip, you see, is Namrsim Jimitop. By the way, this is not the same as guilt, okay? Forget the word. The Tibetan doesn't have a word for guilt. There's no such idea of guilt where you go around and you say, I'm a bad person. I'm a dirty person. Nobody should ever talk to me again. You know, I'm just filthy. I can't do anything right. You know, not like that, okay? This is very powerful. This is like, rip your heart out, you know? I know I made a mistake, and I'm going to do something about it, you know? And that's all. So it's really more of a powerful regret than some kind of guilt that paralyzes you, okay? So it's some kind of very powerful thing. And you look at that action, and it's to realize fully the consequences of what you did, to understand clearly the consequences of what you did. One moment slip in karma can have repercussions for years, okay? And then you know that, and you look at it, and you say, that was really dumb, okay? There's that feeling of ruining your lama's car in just a moment, okay, of thoughtlessness, okay? I call number two, sometimes I translate it as the intelligent regret of a well-trained Buddhist. Okay? The intelligent regret of a well-trained Buddhist. Like, well-trained meaning you understand the consequences of karma. Intelligent meaning you're not just going to sit there and start crying. You're going to do something about it. Okay? Say lar dope top. Lan dope top. Lan dope top means, lan dope means to stop doing it, okay? Don't do it again. Lar means again, dope means stop doing it again, okay? This is where you make a formal commitment to yourself that you will not do that thing again, okay? So for example, if you've had an abortion or you've been involved in an abortion, then you just make a decision, I will never do that again. That's easy, okay? Like that's an easy thing to control. It's not like something that's gonna come and go in a minute and you don't catch it or something, okay? That's a very easy decision to make. I won't do that again. Now what about something like getting angry at a person who irritates you all day long? Okay, if you say, I'll never do that again, you know what? You're just gonna lie, okay? Like 2 hours later, you're gonna be a liar, okay? So the great lamas have said, put a time limit. Make a time limit, okay? A time limit that you can reasonably expect to watch your own mind. For half an hour, I won't get angry at that person, okay? Then you can go lock yourself in the bathroom for 29 minutes or something, okay? Okay, something like that. Something you can control, okay? Make a time limit. And frankly, I do it, I've done it for half an hour, I've done it for 15 minutes, I've done it for 10 minutes. I've said before I finish this fire offering, I'll try not to feel angry about this person again. You know what I mean? So pick a reasonable amount of time. That's called lan dope tom. Okay? Yep. If I figure out that the physical problem I'm having is due to something, I must have had a habit of not respecting life in the past. And then I investigate my current personality. I say, am I attracted to killing birds while they sit on their eggs? No. Am I like a dangerous driver and I run over people? No. Do I enjoy crushing insects or something like that? No, I'm actually quite, I'm not a Dalai Lama, but I feel for sentient beings, I feel for sentient life, I'm careful not to hurt even animals, you know, I'm a very reasonably compassionate person. What's important to know is that, this is really cool, if you have a health problem, you must have enjoyed taking life in the past, okay, even if you don't have that anymore. Okay, so how am I supposed to get rid of that? What am I supposed to do? How do I stop something I'm not doing anymore? You see what I mean? This is the key, okay, get this. You, of all people, have to be very careful about respecting life. You have to be obsessive about respecting life. That's how you can get rid of that old karma, okay? So, for example, okay, maybe you're not the kind of person who's attracted to killing animals and fish, or you don't even eat meat, and when you see an ant, you try to step the other way or something like that. Now you have to be even more careful than other people, okay? Other people who don't have a health problem don't have to be as careful as you do. You have to be perfect. Like the lady who was, who had the health problems from sexual misconduct. You know, she said, I don't understand why this is relevant to me. I haven't cheated on my husband for years. I don't have any desire to cheat on my husband. I don't have to think about that anymore. And then I said, yeah, but now you have to close your eyes at the good part in the movie. Okay? When you open a magazine and you see a cute guy, you have to close it. Okay? When you're walking down the street and you see somebody, a man and a woman, and you kind of like the look of the man, you have to look the other way. And really, what I'm saying is that you have to develop this kind of subtle observation or this subtle respect for other people's relationships, and that will destroy the tiny seed of what you did a long time ago, okay? So if you have a health problem, for example, it's not enough that you're not attracted to killing things. You have to go further. You have to like be super careful not to step on things. You have to be totally aware all the time. When you drive, for example, don't talk to other people. Don't let your eyes off the road. Don't talk on a cell phone. You know, you're just totally thinking all the time, I can't hurt anybody with this car. I shouldn't hurt anybody with this car. Okay? So if you have a health problem, you have to be obsessively careful about respecting life. Okay, and that's how you. This is the main way to destroy old bad karma. Okay, so you go back and figure it out. Whatever, if you have mental problems, depression, stuff like that, you have to be extremely careful about being happy when other people have a problem. Okay, extremely careful. If other people are not depressed, they don't have to be that careful. If you are depressed, you have to be that careful, or you won't be able to get rid of it. Okay, that's the key to removing old bad karma. Remember that. Okay, go back, do detective work, figure out what's wrong with you, then figure out which karma it was, and then become the world's master. I call it the world's master vow-keeping master. You know, everybody wants to be a kung fu master, or a skiing expert, or, you know, you have to be a vow-keeping expert. You have to know your vows and keep them like nobody else, okay? That's the real way to get rid of old bad karma, okay? Next one. Yeah. Say nyembe. Top. Nyembe. Top. Nyembo means, the full name is Nyembo Kundu Chupa Top, but I want to make it easy, okay? Nyembo Kundu Chupa means make up activity. Make up activity. Something you can do to make up for the karma that you collected, okay? Top means power. I'll give you an example that some of you have heard me give before. I lived much of my earlier life in a Mongolian Buddhist community in the United States. And, you know, they came to the United States they came to where I live in the 60s and 70s. And they didn't know much about American customs. That was during the Vietnam War. So they didn't know how to get out of the Vietnam War. And so most of them got sent to Vietnam. You know what I mean? The young men. And one of my lamas, closest students, was sent to Vietnam, you know, and there's horrible stories. You know, he got into the draft place, they said, his teeth were bad. They said, you don't want to have false teeth in the jungle. They pulled his teeth out and sent him to Vietnam, you know, and gave him a gun and said, you know, go. And then it was like this nightmare, you know, story. And he was out one night, they're doing a convoy to carry supplies from one place to another place. They got in this perfect ambush, you know, there's people shooting from this side, there's people shooting from this side, there's mortars coming down on them from the sky. There wasn't anywhere to hide. So they just sat in the truck and just sprayed machine gun both ways. They just sprayed machine gun fire. And so he says, I don't know if I killed anybody, but probably I did, you know, because the ambush stopped after a while and they figured they must have hit somebody. And so he comes to my lama and he says, what can I do about that? You know, I have this karma of maybe I killed somebody, maybe I didn't, but I want to make sure, you know. So my lama said, I know that you Mongolian people like to eat makhan. So he said, I happen to know that your father is keeping two sheep to kill with the intention of killing them and eating them. So this is in the middle of, you know, New Jersey, kind of funny, but anyway. So he says, I want you to buy those two sheep from your father and keep them until they die. That will be your Nyembo Kundu Chupa Top. That will make up activity. And then the karma is finished. You see? See, nobody even knows because they killed him. 16 years. And he kept them very carefully for 15, 16 years. And it was a beautiful story. It was a boy sheep and a girl sheep. And one of them died. I don't remember which one. One of them finally died. And then the other one died of a broken heart like a week later. It's really sad. It was very sad. That's a typical makeup activity. So if you have health problems, do something to protect life. You see, if you had an abortion, go to a hospital, maybe volunteer to help once a week. Find an older person to help. Find a sick person to help, okay? And I'm talking boys and girls who have been involved in abortions because of the gun thing, right? The Magla Sopa Dunchik Chir from the Abhidharma Kosha. So find something like that. It also states in the ancient scriptures that reciting mantras is very powerful. But the most important and the most powerful makeup activity is studying emptiness. Very, very, very famous. okay? Better than keeping sheep for 15 years. Better than doing hundreds of thousands of Vajrasattva mantras, okay? Is to study emptiness. Emptiness and karma. Why? If you really understand what we talked about this whole week, if you really understand the thing about the pen, I've sent a letter to Jetson Kapa to see if they'll change Prajnaparamita to the pen thing. Okay? Like, hopefully you'll never see a pen again without thinking about emptiness. That's very, very simple. The Sakyas used to teach it this way in the ancient days. They would hold up a conch shell and go through that same thing. But don't forget the pen thing, okay? If you understand the pen thing, and you understand that your mind is forcing you to see it as a pen, and the more you appreciate that, and the more you study it over and over and over again, you won't want to hurt anything. You won't want to break any bad, you won't want to make bad karma, because you understand how it comes back to you. You see, I mean, the reason you don't respect the laws of karma is that you don't understand how it works. You know, if it's just some voodoo or some idea that Tibetan lamas have and they can't prove it to you and they can't show you how it works, that's one thing. But once you understand how karma is forcing you to see everything in this room and how karma forces you to have every thought you're having, then you'd be crazy to do bad karma. You see, I mean, you wouldn't want to do bad karma. And what I'm trying to say is every hour that you study emptiness is days and days of karma that you won't want to do. You see what I mean? So invest the time. Even if you think you understand it clearly, go back, take the Diamond Cutter Sutra, okay? Get it, open it up, any old page, read it for... I used to do this all the time, just so I would start to understand emptiness. 15 minutes, I'd open some book about emptiness that I had no idea I was talking about, and I'd sit there in the college library where I went to college, and I would sit there, and I was like 20 years old, and I would sit there and I would read a page of emptiness just as to make up for the bad thoughts I'd had that day. Okay, so be sure to do that. That helps a lot. Where do these come from? These four come from an ancient sutra by Lord Buddha called the Four Powers. Okay, it's not something that Tibetan lamas made up. It is not accepted, by the way, by the Hinayana schools. The Hinayana schools say, once you've committed a karma, you cannot clean it. You cannot remove it from your mind stream. Mahayana says you can. Lord Buddha, in the Diamond Cutter Sutra, in the Raja Samadhi Raja Sutra, says, if you do these four powers well, like on an abortion, okay? And by the way, you have to do it over maybe once a week for... I'd say for an abortion, try to do it 6 months or something. Okay, once a week for like 6 months. Do a nice little formal fire meditation. Use these four powers. The Buddha himself said in those two sutras that a karma which would take you to hell will result in a headache. Okay? A karma which would take you to a hell realm will give you a bad cold in Kathmandu. Okay? Seriously. And when you study emptiness, Lord Buddha said in the Diamond Cutter Sutra, you will have these. This is everybody. I mean, it's an inordinate number of people have gotten sick now. I mean, there's like 15 people in bed tonight already, you know. And a lot of people have colds and headaches and stuff like that. This is great. This is really good. No, it's because we've been studying emptiness and karma. It's exactly Buddha said that over and over again, and you're just seeing. It's actually the success of this class that everyone's sick. We've been putting stuff in the water, and okay, no, really, it's you should be happy. Like, you can't imagine all the bad karma you're wearing off by being slightly sick while you're here. Okay, so you should be happy about that. I'd like to take a break there, and then when we come back, I'll show you how to do the fire offering. It seems like I have to do it, or I have to draft somebody else because the person who is supposed to do it is very sick. So take a break, and then it won't take very long.